Dave Moore
on Today FM.
I've got Padraig O'Hara with me, former Mayo footballer and about to be Everest. What do you call yourself? A mounter, a climber, a mountaineer. What's the noun you're choosing for this, Padraig? Maniac.
Headcase. Something of that nature.
Okay.
I don't know. I think they call themselves mountaineers, but sure, we'll just go with it.
Where are you now?
We are in somewhere near Doolin.
Oh, very nice.
Flying around Clare.
Just having a bit of crack down in the beautiful County Clare.
Yeah, well, today had a day off school, so I was a bold parent. I whipped them out at lunchtime yesterday, and we got the hinch in, and we're just doing a few bits around.
Well, you better give them a shout out there in the radio. You better tell them everyone who are the important people, the VIPs in the car.
The VIP. So I have Caden, the oldest, who's 13. We have to rush back for basketball this evening. I have Mila, who's 8, the middle child and the lunatic, and then Sadie, the baby, who's still 3, just about, and sure. We're trying to squeeze in what we can before I go away.
So I was going to say, before you go away, we'll get to you going away, okay? And we'll get to all the reasons that you're doing and what you're doing and all the rest, because it is amazing and insane at the same time. But, I mean, is it just because inter-county's out of your life now, you just need a hobby? I mean, could you not take up, like, crocheting or something?
Golf seems to be the go-to, and that is just a depressing thought.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more.
So, I had this on my... I had it on the radar long before I finished in county, but I knew that obviously it was something I couldn't do until then. And as I started to phase out of football, I started to kind of turn the wheels on this. I was double jobbing for a little while. And then obviously when the inter-county football finished up, I was able to kind of focus fully on this.
Okay, well, let's talk about the football for a second before we get on to Everest and everything that's involved with that. So in terms of the football, like, it must be a difficult challenge for anybody to step away from whatever sport it is that they spend their life dedicated to. And you haven't stepped away, obviously, in the sense that you're never going to kick a football again, but you've stepped away from the inter-county, the elite level, the top level that you can possibly do it at. Is it a wrench?
Look, I came in a different kind of time. So, like, I came in at the age of 27, already with kind of a family and different bits and pieces going on. So, like, it was, like, it became fairly difficult because inter-county football demands your sole attention. Like, it's a full-time job. We always kind of joke that you can't have a real job when you're playing inter-county football. Yeah. So, like, when family life was getting busy, I suppose there's only so many times you can look at them and say, I can't make your game. I can't, you know, bring you to the birthday party. I can't do X, Y, and Z because I'm training or I'm doing this. Like, we were lucky enough. We've had our gorgeous days in Croke Park. Okay, we didn't hit the top tier, but we've had our moments. You know, the kids have seen that side of things. So I think it was the right time. It was the right time.
Gotcha. That makes perfect sense. And before we move on to Everest, let's stick with football for a second. Kobe McDonald is making waves like there's no tomorrow. I mean, I'm seeing people, you know, comparing him to the best of the best. There was David Clifford comparisons there recently. How are you feeling about Kobe and what he's doing?
I think give him his space. Like,
does he
need all this noise? Probably not, but it's unavoidable considering the lineage, his dad, like... obviously, his brother Jordan is there too. So, like, he comes from really, really good stock. He seems to me, I don't know him personally, but he seems like an absolute top, top lad. He's come in and set the world alight. Seems to be playing like he's been there for 5 or 6 years, which is cool and it's great. And look, everybody in Mayo is excited. I said this last week too. I want the kid to go out and enjoy himself. Yeah. He's got AFL aspirations now. Go and live his life. Enjoy every bit of it. And I'm sure we're going to see him in green and red again after this year at some stage. I think we're just grateful to have another kind of prospect like this. We haven't seen somebody like that since probably maybe Killian O'Connor.
Yeah, in fairness, as you said, the hype, it does nothing but hype would pile the pressure on, but maybe with the head on him, with the family he has around him, he might be able to just cope with all that and, as you said, do what he wants to do. Listen, before we, again, I want to get to Everest, but I'm just going to do everything else first because I want to spend all the time on that. The tattoo, the full sleeve, how's it healing up? Is it all looking good? I loved following your story on that on your Instagram.
It's 100%, yeah. I was supposed to finish off the inside on the 14th, 15th and 16th. I had booked in February, but I pulled out of it just because it means 2 more weeks of not being in order and not being able to train the way I've had to the last while. So it has gone on the back burner. I'll finish that when I come back. But it's cool. It's, again, something I waited for years to do.
So, looks so good, man.
Getting there. It took so long, but you know, like, it's one of those things that you do it once. It's not like you can go back with a bloody rubber and start again. So
that's the truth, yeah. And sneakerhead to sneakerhead, what's exciting at the moment on feet? What are you rocking? What are you excited about?
You are my guy when it comes to this. So I have actively taken a back step. I deleted all of the apps.
Smart.
I haven't entered any of the raffles. I've turned off Grailify. All of it. It's all gone because I don't have the money.
I know, it's so expensive.
Oh man, I've put myself into the depths of debt for Everest because that has to be the focus.
Yeah.
So no, I'm not allowed to buy shoes at the moment is the long and short of it.
Why Everest? You know, it is the most challenging thing I think a human being can do on this planet. Why are you choosing this?
Hey, look, it's definitely up there. Is it the most difficult? I don't know. It's just something that I have always wanted to do as a child anyway, in particular. And something that fell by the wayside for a number of years then. Like, life obviously took a different direction, done different bits and pieces. But when I went into Hell Week and met Jason, which is now like 6 years ago, it really reignited. And I kind of... we drummed up a bit of a friendship, and I said it to him. I was like, I want to make that happen at some stage. And he said, I'll help you make that happen.
Right.
You know, he had the experience already. And then maybe about 3 years ago, as I see myself slowly phasing out of football, I kind of said, you know, I really want to look at this. And we put a kind of 3-year structured plan together, 3.5-year plan on how to make that happen. I was kind of lucky that, like, coming from elite sports or coming from a certain base of physical and mental strength, that I was a little bit further down the tracks maybe than some people would be starting that journey, but I still had a lot to learn. So the last 3 years have been solely kind of focused on that, really. Well,
that's incredible that it takes 3.5 years to get an elite sports person up to the level where they can begin to think about challenging themselves on Everest. That is wild.
I think it could even take longer, really. Like, yeah. I'm very, very fortunate. So, like, I've been able to draw on maybe a small bit of a profile and go and get information and support and help from people that maybe would have been slightly less accessible.
Okay.
Like, people have opened their doors to me. It's kind of, do you know what? I felt like this anytime I've gone and done something different, like even with martial arts or even when I went kayaking. If you go and ask people, and you know, people are so good with their time.
Yes, they agreed. Really are. Love
like,
that.
And they've a wealth of knowledge. Like, so I've gone around the country and met different people and experienced completely different styles of thinking, learning. It's like an apprenticeship nearly. And I've been fortunate enough to have some of the best teachers in the country who've been there, done that, worn a t-shirt. So that's really helped me push on over the last number of years, more so than even any of the physical training I've done.
Brilliant. And aren't you doing this to raise awareness for the Mayo Mental Health Association?
Yeah, well, look, I work with the Mayo Mental Health Association for the last number of years.
Yeah.
And this is a topic that I think, look, it's we never stop talking about it, do we? Because of the impact. And I think it's only becoming more and more prevalent in the country for one reason or another. And we could spend an hour talking about that. But, like, I get to see the work that our team do as an organization. And it means an awful lot to me. It means an awful lot to the community that it's the kind of, it's the upstream stuff. It's the educational work. It's the community-based stuff that I'm really passionate about. It's kind of giving people the skills, or young people, the tools to go out into this world and survive it instead of just crying and complaining.
Yes.
About the challenges that we face. I think that's more important. And also, when you raise money for a charity or an organization, it's important to know where the money goes. And I know, you know, 110% that every single penny, every single cent that goes into Mayo Mental Health Association goes into those supports and services. It's not used for anything else, for paying staff or any of that stuff. All of that stuff is covered off. So at least I know that every penny we raise will actually go directly into the services and supports that we want.
Yeah, that's brilliant. It makes such a difference. All right, well, let's talk about the challenge that will face you then. What do you think in your quest for this, you know, resilience and self-belief and everything you need to make this happen, what do you think is going to be the biggest challenge to you? Is it going to be physical? Is it going to be mental? Is it going to be climatic? What's it going to be?
It's all between the ears. Like,
right.
The body is physically there to do whatever I ask it to do now. At this stage, I'm fairly strong and comfortable in the physical preparation. I've done as much work as you could humanly do in regards to kind of altitude. Like, I have an altitude simulator at home. I'm training at 7,000 meters for the last couple of months.
Wow.
I'm well capable of that, I think. Hopefully that carries me through it, but that's kind of unavoidable. The weather and Mother Nature will dictate whether we're successful or not, I suppose.
Yeah.
my application is just trained as hard as possible, got as much knowledge as possible going over there, and then just leave it in the hands of Mother Nature, really. Just be there to step on if it allows you to, and if it doesn't, then just make sure you come home in one piece, really. But I think the mental side of it, it's a long, long stint to be away from home, to be away from family, and even just general comforts. So I'm doing an awful lot of work on that. I've got a brilliant psychologist that we're working with, Dr. Karen Weeks. So all of that work is being taken care of too. But look, the course is going to be challenges.
And one of the questions that always comes up when people talk about these kinds of expeditions is, how do you get back down? Like, because summiting it, you know, getting to the summit seems like the pinnacle, the moment, the put the flag in the ground, represent, you know, Mayo Mental Health Association, do that for yourself, all those things that you've done. But then I presume you don't just like, well, we'll just take the escalator down, lads.
Imagine, if only. Like, that's the finish point is the front door, like, or yeah. Terminal 2 Dublin Airport, if you want to look at it like that.
Right.
It cannot be the summit. And like, a lot of mental prep has gone into controlling emotions and trying not to get overwhelmed by that, albeit, look, you hit the summit of Everest, I'm sure you're going to be overwhelmed by emotions,
sure,
regardless. But that is very much the halfway point, if even that. Like, the risk, most people, unfortunately, you know, get hurt or die on that mountain on the way back down. That's where the real risk is. You can imagine how exhausted you are after making it up there, and then the big boost of endorphins and energy, and that falls off. So, like, I've had experience of that before. I know what that feels like. So getting back down is far more difficult, I think, than even getting up there. And, like, I have to emphasize the fact that Summit and Everest is so far down the list of goals on this expedition.
Right.
It's unbelievable. Like, of course, it's what you want to do. It's why you're going. But it's far from the top of the, you know, you just have to go and be there and commit to it. And that's all you're doing. At the end of the day, the mountain or Mother Nature, whatever you call God, will dictate whether you get there or don't. But, like, it's my job to make sure I come home, no mind anything else.
Wow. Yeah, well, that puts it all in perspective, in fairness. Listen, we are so behind you, honestly. Like, everyone here today, FM, the whole nation listening now, like, we are so behind you. This is such an incredible thing you're doing, and doing it for the right causes as well, for Mayo Mental Health Association, everything you do with them. So we wish you the best. Come back safe and talk to us when you get back down. I would love to have a proper chat with you on the radio when you're back and find out how it all was.
100%. Look, I appreciate all the support. Anybody who wants to jump on and support, just get in touch. And I think Dermot is on his way over to base camp.
I was going to say, Dermot Whelan, the man who just never stops doing something and challenging himself, is doing Everest base camp in April. So yeah, you never know, you might cross paths.
Yeah, we might, yeah. But look, I'll bring a pair of Jordan 4s just for you to base camp.
You keep me so happy.
we'll chat when we're back.
Okay, thanks, that sounds good. Not at all. Listen, a big love to the family park. We'll talk to you soon. Good luck.
Much love. Take it easy.
Bye-bye. Dave Moore on Today FM.